Yeah, so high school was rough, but also, like, on the outside, nobody would have known that. Mm-hmm. Like, even my parents were, like, we're just like, yeah, you had a great high school experience. Like, I ended high school and I was, like, student body president or vice president and, like, won Cougar of the Year, which is, like, the highest award you can win at our school.
Sounds like a terrible.
I know. We were the award. Cougars. I know.
Allianz, Cougar of the Year.
Okay, bye.
Guys, welcome to the show. My name is Koji. I'll be your host. Yeah, I'm really excited for you to be here. I'm really glad you're here because what you're about to listen to is a conversation that I had with my good friend Allie, where she walks us through her journey of deciding to be Catholic. She comes from a liberal family, and she's now she works for Net Ministries. A good friend of mine. That's how we met when we were both with Net Ministries. Yeah, I just had a great time listening to her story, just in detail, like all the things that led up to where she is now. We also started talking about what it means to love people who are in the LGBTQ community, right? Like, what does that mean for us who are practicing Catholics to love those people? So yeah, it was just a really great conversation. I hope you like it. I hope you get a lot out of this because I know I did. I'm going to shut up now and I'll let the podcast do its thing. All right, you guys, enjoy.
Cool. Okay. Well, thanks for being here. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Yeah. Why don't you just introduce yourself really quick?
Okay. My name is Allie. I am 25 years old. I'm originally from Colorado and now live here in the Twin Cities. I converted to Catholicism my freshman year of college, and stingrays are my favorite animals.
What are?
Stingrays.
Oh, stingrays. Mm-hmm. Why?
I just think they look so beautiful in the water. Like, they just, like, glide. It's like they're flying through the water, like, because they have, like, little wings, but they're not wings. They're just their fins, but it looks like wings, and they, like, just, like, I'm pretending to be a stingray right now,
yeah.
Those of you who can't see, which is everyone by
I'm privileged that I got to see.
They just, like, look so, like, they just are so glorious. I don't know.
What's the emotion like, that it provokes in you when you see one?
I just get, like, really peaceful, but then also, like, really, I'm, like, a small child when I see a stingray. Yeah, like,
as opposed to
really
a fat
excited.
Child?
No, what? No, like, a small, like, age-wise child.
Young child.
Yeah, a young child. Okay. I'm so sorry for my poor language.
It's
yes,
fine.
A young child. Yeah, I get really excited seeing them, so.
So for those of you who don't know, we live in Minnesota right now. And in the Mall of America, which is in Minnesota, there's like an aquarium in the bottom floor. Mm. And I've never been, but whenever I go up the escalators above it, I can see stingrays.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone?
I've never been to the aquarium. I've tried to go like for my birthday every year and nobody will go with me.
I didn't know that.
And so it's no, well, we did a pedal pub this year. So then it was like, hey,
no,
guys, spend $30 for a pedal pub. Also, who wants to spend $31 to take me to the aquarium? So I tried to get my mom to go too when she was here and it didn't happen, but it'll happen eventually. But I like purposely park on that side of the mall on that level so that when I leave, I can go up the escalator and just like lean over and see the pool of stingrays. And one time I almost fell. I just like lost my balance because I was so excited.
That's funny. How does it feel knowing that a stingray killed Steve Irwin?
That is always the thing that somebody brings up when I say that my favorite animal is a stingray. Is they're always like, so your favorite animal is the animal that's killed Steve Irwin. What's your favorite animal?
Dogs.
Yeah, who have also probably killed people. Probably not as violently, but dogs can be vicious if they're not trained right. So like, everyone's favorite animal has probably killed somebody.
Like a hamster? Like if I were to say my favorite animal is a hamster, it would have killed someone?
Yeah, I'm sure we could probably look up some way that a hamster killed somebody. Mm. Like maybe they like tried to like step, like there's all of a sudden their hamster escaped. They tried to like, and it was on the ground and they tried not to step on it. And then somehow they fell and died.
Like they slip
it's
on a
got
hamster.
Just really dark.
Like they slip on a hamster and they fall on the
yeah,
stairs.
Yeah, fall down
and
the
therefore,
stairs.
Therefore, the hamster killed the person.
Yeah, because they were trying to like not kill the hamster, and in
in the process,
yeah,
they killed themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
On accident.
On accident. So it's the hamster's fault, but
okay.
I mean, really, when you think about what Steve Irwin was doing with his life, like he was like trying to like capture wild animals.
Mm-hmm.
Like the amount of times he like just jumped on crocodiles, those could have killed him.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened to be a stingray that did
yeah.
it. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I read something somewhere where like if he wouldn't have like, cause it like the stingray went in, cause the way stingrays work is like.
Oh yeah, please
their
tell
stinger,
us.
Their little stinger, like, is like barbed. So like when you pull it out, it like rips more. So if he would have like, I'm
kept
pretty sure
in.
If like he would have kept it in, he could have survived.
Oh,
is what I've read.
Gosh.
So or maybe I just make that up to make myself feel better. But regardless, you know, that's probably how he wanted to go though. He was such like a wild, crazy guy. He probably wanted to go trying to do something with an animal.
Oh, that's crazy.
But
ugh. Anyways.
Yeah. He just didn't grab the stinger fast enough. Also, the way that stingrays sting, it looks like a scorpion. They like
oh,
take
really?
Their tail up and then their stinger stays out like straight.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're really interesting.
So it wasn't an accident, like the stingray straight up tried to kill.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If they feel threatened.
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap.
Yeah, crazy,
that's,
isn't it?
Yeah.
But
and that's your favorite animal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you guys ever, for all of our listeners there, which are basically all of our friends, if you're ever in town and you want to, you know, treat Allie out somewhere.
Shameless plug.
Take her to the aquarium, the Mall of America downstairs for $30.
It's
right?
like 26.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
$26.
Per person.
Yeah. Spend the next $4 on beer or something. No, beer is way more than that.
Yeah. Well, depending on where you go.
That's true. Get a sample somewhere. Anyways, back to the podcast. I don't know how I'm going to edit that. But yeah, anyways, so before we got to the stingrays, which I appreciate you elaborating on.
Yeah.
Why don't you, I'd be really interested to just kind of hear your whole process of converting to Catholicism, and I think it's always fascinating when someone really chooses this way of life, and someone does it so intentionally, like you do, and like really live it out. Like, even though we were in ministry together, like when we were out of ministry, just like, you know, hanging out, I think like it, the gospel is so seeped into you that it's just like you can't shake it off, right? So yeah, so I just really appreciate that.
Thanks.
Yeah, so yeah, why don't you just kind of chat? I guess we can start in the beginning.
In the beginning was the word.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Yeah, I mean, so I was baptized Catholic when I was a baby. My mom's side of the family is Catholic. And yeah, so I was baptized when I was a baby. My brother was baptized. He's 3 years older than me, and he was baptized on the same day. But then like after that, like I didn't really even know I was baptized most of my life, like other than the fact that I had two godparents who like were my mom's siblings. But I, yeah, other than that only meant that we like got extra presents from them.
Nice.
Yeah, so we didn't really, like, talk about God in my family ever. Yeah, we just, like, it just wasn't important to talk about ever. I don't know. And, like, I had friends who went to church and, like, go to sleepovers, and their parents would, like, take me to church with them on Sunday or whatever, but nothing, I was just kind of, like, there, like, going to, like, Sunday school that I didn't understand or whatever. And so, my family on Sundays would, like, we'd watch football all day, like, watch ESPN and just every single football game all day, so I was, like, really big in my family, and then, yeah, I just didn't really have, like, a ton of friends that were, like, really big and open about their faith growing up. So then in middle school, I was in like a gifted and talented program. So we had like a group of 30 students who like we took our core classes together, but then we had like art and gym and music and like all the like elective courses with like the rest of the school. So we had like a different section of the school that we were in most of the day. And then like, yeah, then we'd like go into like the rest of the school when we'd have other classes. And so we all got bullied all the time because it was just like, oh, these are like the smart kids. And like, and so, yeah, so through middle school, I was, like, super bullied, but, like, I mean, but my friends and I, like, took it well for being teenagers, young tweens. We would, like, try and, like, make fun of them back in a sense of, like, not necessarily, like, saying mean things to them, but, like, we would wear fake glasses and put tape on them or, like, wear pocket protectors. And
so
like,
you were sarcastically...
Yeah, like, if you're going to make fun of us for being nerds, like, we're just going to, like, keep, like, I remember, like, in Science Olympiad, which was, like, a science competition that I would do, our t-shirts said, like, I went to West Middle School, and our t-shirts said West Geeks, and so we'd, like, wear those proudly around school.
Nice.
So, like, we were able to, like, fight back, but it's still, like, I mean, you still hear those things, and, like, it's so easy to believe those lies of, like, oh, because I'm this nerd, like, no one, like, I'm a loser, and just, yeah, I have friends, but my friends are also losers, and, like, so then when I went to high school, the high school I went to was, different than where most of my peers were going from, so, like, a lot of people went to a different high school than I went to, but my brother had already gone to this one, and so he was going to be a senior when I was a freshman, so it was just kind of like, you're going to the school that your brother goes to, because he can take you to school every day. So I kind of took that as an opportunity of, like, I can, like, reinvent myself then, because, like, not a lot of people are going to know me, and the ones that do, like, whatever, like, I can, yeah. So my brother was, like, student body president, captain of the swim team, which, like, swimming at my high school is really big. And, like, so he was really popular. All the teachers loved him. So I kind of had, like, his coattails to ride on. Like, okay, like, the phrase, like, oh, you're Andrew's little sister is, like, something I always heard growing up and especially in high school.
How'd you feel about that?
I mean, in some senses, like, I would use that to kind of, like, to my advantage of, like, okay, well, you know that my brother, like, he's done these things. So, like, that kind of gives me, like, a leg up. But then it was also, like, I have to, like, compete with you. Like, I have to be better than him in every way. So and him and I are both just really competitive. So, like, we just compete.
Allie's very competitive.
What are you talking? I'm, like, kind of competitive.
Never play board games with Allie.
No, I'm so much better than I used to be. The thing is, like, you guys call me competitive, but if you would have seen me probably, like, 5 years ago. So bad. Anyway, we're not talking about that.
No, that's another podcast.
yeah, conversations with competitive people.
Oh, yeah. I know a ton.
Yeah, most of our friends. So anyway, yeah, so in high school, like, tried to be basically as popular as I could be. So, like, got involved with student council. I swam as well. Was in, like, AP courses and stuff, too, just to, like, continue to, like, keep my grades high And then I just had, like, tons of friends. Like, I was just friends with everyone that I could be friends with and, like, friends in different groups. And, like, to the point of, like, okay, when I'm with this group, I'm this person. And when I'm with this group, I'm this person. Mm-hmm. And when I'm with this group, I'm that, like, mm-hmm. And I had, like, my, like, best friends. But then, like, sophomore year, they, like, stopped talking to me. So then I just, like, went into a different group of friends and, like, just always had people to be with but never really felt like I had, like, people I could, like, truly be myself with. Like, it felt like I always had to, like, put on a face for other people. Like, oh, when I'm on the swim team, like, I'm sporty and we, like, talk about the guys on the swim team and, like, all these different things. Or, like, when I'm in student council, we talk, like, we only ever talk about events and I have to plan every single event perfectly and all these different things. And so high school was just, like, exhausting. Like, as much as it was, like, fun and I was popular and I was on, like, prom court and, like, all the things that, like, everybody wants out of high school, I just remember feeling exhausted all of the time. And going into my junior year, I was, like, pretty exhausted, pretty upset, like, what could have been potentially called depressed, but, like, never diagnosed, so, like, whatever. But got to this point where I just like didn't feel like my life was like worthy of anything because so many other people were like so happy and I wasn't happy and like they were living the same way I was. So I was just like, well, I just have to like go to more parties and like try and be more popular or whatever. But one thing that was like a huge saving grace throughout all of like high school was, I don't know like where this came from, but like for some reason I was like very adamant about like not having sex till I got married. Like, I was just very adamant about that. And I remember, like, thinking, like, I'm this, like, really emotional person, so I know that, like, that could really easily get me emotionally attached to, like, a guy, and if we, like, broke up, that I just know that would be hard.
Yeah.
And so, for like, I was super adamant about it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, like, knew that about me, so, like, guys would, like, start dating me to try and get me to, like, break that, and then when it wouldn't work, would, like, break up with me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, like, all throughout high school, like
this
all
is
of those
all throughout
things.
High school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and so
wait.
Like,
so when did you like decide that that was?
It was like I think it was like my freshman year. My like three best friends and I were all just like, we're like not gonna have sex till we get married. Let's just like make that pact now.
And you don't and remember then, where it came from?
No, I think like potentially like. Yeah, I, like, honestly don't even remember. One of those girls was, like, really Catholic. Like, her family's really Catholic, went on a lot of retreats, and her dad's a deacon. And,
cool.
So I think, like, spurred from that in some sense.
Maybe.
And then, yeah, potentially. And so, like, but really, like, knowing now, like, totally the Holy Spirit and the Lord just, like, trying to save me from a lot of other crap. But, yeah, and, like, so in high school as well, like, super into partying, like that's what like a lot of the like popular people at my school did, and so and my parents were just kind of like, yeah, as long as you're being safe, like that's fine with us. Like as long as you, if you don't drive, like don't drive, don't like get yourself in a situation where you could get hurt, like we'll come pick you up if you need, like we'll come pick your friends up if you need, yeah, but just like be, you know, just try and like be honest with us. When I was 16 years old, my dad like handed me a 6-pack of beer and was like, all right, let's find your limit right now.
Whoa, that's sweet.
which like in some sense, like honestly, it was good. It was
yeah.
good because I knew, like mm-hmm. I knew, but at the same time, it's like, like why are you
yeah,
like encouraging
like
your 16-year-old to drink?
Yeah.
But it like honestly like helped me to not get just like trashed at parties. Like it's
yeah.
like I knew that like I didn't want to be in a point where I wasn't going to be able to control what I was doing. And so I knew how far that would be. So
yeah.
like or whatever. And yeah, so high school was rough, but also like on the outside nobody would have known that.
Mm-hmm.
Like even my parents were like, we're just like, yeah, you had a great high school experience. Like, I ended high school and I was, like, student body president or vice president and, like, won Cougar of the Year, which is, like, the highest award you can win at our
sounds
school.
Sounds like a terrible
I know. We were the
award.
Cougars. I know.
Elliot's Cougar
oh,
of the
okay.
Year.
okay, bye. just edit that one.
No.
I was my mascot of the year. I was also my high school mascot for a few times. It's fun.
Nice.
So
you're an actual Cougar.
Yeah, it was an actual cougar, Charlene Cougar.
Charlene the Cougar.
Charlene the Cougar.
Nice.
Had my partner Charlie, who just it was like if you were in student council, you like had to be the mascot at some point, and
oh,
then
really?
I was the only one who was like do it more than once.
Nice.
Yeah,
because you like the smell of sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
Other
people's sweaty
cotton.
Yeah.
Musty.
Yeah, like multiple people have been in this costume sweatiness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Great.
Yeah.
Good to know.
So, anyway, so then towards the end of high school, like, almost, like, end of my senior year, had a friend who was very religious, and she brought me to this, like, play around Easter time that was, like, the story of Jesus. And it was, like, basically, like, the Passion of Christ meets Broadway. and so, like, very theatrical. And at the end of it, like, she, like, drove me home, and she was like, so, what did you think? And I was like, yeah, it was, like, pretty cool. Like, I know the story of Jesus now. Like, I've heard people talk about him. And she was like, well, have you, like, ever heard of this thing called the rapture? And I was like, no, what are you talking about? And she was like, well, at the end, you know, like, Jesus is just going to come, and everyone who's not a believer. And I was like, I don't, that sounds so dumb. so I was like, I'm glad I, like, know the story. Thanks so much for taking me. But
yeah.
I'm good.
Sorry, how old were you here?
I was a senior in high school.
Senior high school.
Okay. So I was, like, about to go to college.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it was just kind of interesting. She invited me to go to, like, Easter service with her, so I, like, went to that, and it was, like, this is cool, and, like, these people are happy, but, like, I just feel like this is just a lot of, like, feelings, and, like, that would be nice, but I just, like, I think this is kind of stupid. So, yeah, so went to college, and it was in college, so I met this girl named Sarah. She was my, like, small group leader in this leadership program that I had done, and she was, like, devoutly Catholic, super holy, super joyful. Everybody loved her. And I was like, I have to be her. Like, I need to be. And not because she was, like, holy, but just because it was, like, people, like, loved her and she was really funny and everyone wanted to be around her. And I was like, that's what I want. So I have to be exactly like her. So I need to be her friend and figure out how she does that. So she had, like, invited me to a few Catholic things, like, during the welcome week. And I went to some of them, and I was like, this is cool, but this, like, isn't really my crowd. And I think, like, I knew that I had such a fear of being, like, of people just, like, wanting to save me. Because I was just, like, such, like, people talked about that all the time. Like, I don't want to be saved. I don't want to be just, like, a number for you. Like, I think it really came from a desire to just be seen and be known and not just to be a number.
Yeah.
Which I couldn't have articulated that then. But, yeah, so she... was really great. We had a class together, so I saw her twice a week, and she just continued to, like, be my friend and just be really nice. But a lot of people from my high school went to the same college as me, so, like, continued to, like, party with them and stuff. And I just remember going to class one day that I had with Sarah, and a friend had texted me, like, hey, this is what party we're going to this weekend, this is what we're gonna do Friday night, blah blah blah. And I just remember being, like, so frustrated, like, I just don't want to do that anymore. And so I, like, put my phone in my backpack, got to class, sit down, and Sarah was like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And I was like, nothing! I'm super free all weekend! What do you want to do? Which is something I, like, never would have said. I never would have said I was free all weekend. And she was like, oh, awesome, we have this retreat going on this weekend, you should totally come. And I was like, crap.
Damn it.
Okay, sure, yeah, I guess I'm free, so I can go.
You already said with,
like, yeah,
that, like, much enthusiasm.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, sure, I'll go. So, like, convinced one of my roommates to go with me, who, like, she had grown up religious. So, not Catholic, but religious. So, drive down to this, like, Catholic church in Denver and spend a weekend with a bunch of Catholic people, basically. So, the weekend was, like, pretty good. I liked the talks, I liked the people, but it was just kind of like, this just doesn't feel right. Like, this doesn't feel like where I should be. I don't know. Like, I just don't really get what's going on a lot of the time. Saturday night, we have adoration, and I have no idea what that is. I missed the explanation of what it was. And so I, like, walk into the room, and there's a table with a bunch of gold stuff on it and some candles, and people are crying and laughing and passing out, and nobody's doing anything about it. And I'm like, what is going on? And then they're like, okay, everybody get in a circle, and, like, everybody be kneeling in this circle. And the priest, like, brings the monstrance around with Jesus, and, like, he, like, will bring it in front of people, and people just start, like, passing out. Like, to me, being this person who has no idea what's going on, people are passing out and nobody's doing anything about it.
Yeah.
Which now I'm like, okay, they're resting in the spirit. I totally get that. Super cool. But, like, back then I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, and so... And then it, like, comes to me, and then he, like, the priest, like, puts the monstrance, like, in my face, and I'm like, what am I supposed to look at?
Do I, like, lick it?
And then I was just like, I don't understand, like, people are crying, like, am I supposed to feel something? Like, what? I was, like, so confused. So that night, I was like, I gotta get out of here. Like, these people are crazy. And then the next morning, we, like, hear a talk, and then, this thing happens, which is going to be total spoiler for anyone who's not been on this retreat before, but it's fine.
It's okay.
You, like, get these letters that are, like, written to you from people on this retreat, and they get your family to write you letters. And I, like, always knew that my parents loved me. Like, I knew that, but it just wasn't something that was said a lot around my house. And I had just gotten to a point where I just didn't believe I was, like, a lovable person. And so... because I was, like, trying so hard to love people, and I didn't ever feel like I was getting anything in return, which I was. But... so reading a letter, like, written from my mom about, like, how proud she was of me and how much she loved me, and then reading these other letters from all these people who I didn't even know, like, saying that they loved me, like, just broke me down. Like, I was sobbing and, like, couldn't stop crying the whole rest of the day. And then we, like, get to Mass, and I had been to Mass before once, so I have, like, some of my cousins are still practicing Catholics, and gone to Mass with them once when I was, like, 10, accidentally received the Eucharist because I didn't know what it was. So, like, walk up, and everyone just, like, puts their hands out, so I put my hand out and then walked away and, like, kept it in my hand because I didn't see anyone, like, I didn't see what they did with it afterwards. Yeah. And then I get back down in the pew, and my cousin's like, what are you doing with that? And I was like, what am I supposed to do with it? And they were like, you're supposed to eat it. And I thought it was, like, a piece of paper. And I was like, I'm supposed to eat this piece of paper? And then they're all, like, laughing at me. It was so embarrassing. But so I ate it and then, like, didn't know what I was doing. But so that was my, like, one experience of Mass. So going into Mass, I was like, oh, I'm going to do something wrong. Like, now that there's so much stuff. But I just, like, had so much peace doing it, like, being there, that I was like, I have to, like, I've never felt this way before in my life. And I need to, like, figure out what this is. So I started going to RCIA classes at the parish that was, like, near my college. And the first class I went to was on the Eucharist. And the priest, like, explained what it was. And he has a really powerful testimony about the Eucharist. And he ends his testimony saying, and I realized that if this was true, I had to be Catholic. And I'm sitting there, like, jaw-dropped, like, staring at him, like, I have to become Catholic. Like, I have to do this. So I, like, stopped talking to all my friends from high school, and I just, like, threw myself into all these Catholic, into this Catholic group, and, like, just became friends with all these people. Hung out at the campus center all the time. I, like, joined a Bible study. I started getting involved in Focus. And, yeah, and the rest is kind of, like, history.
Yes.
My history. Seven years later, here I am, sitting on a couch with you.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's really long. That was a really long.
No.
Sorry.
No, that was good. That was good. So, and that's a podcast. No.
And thank you for coming.
Oh, man. That's awesome. So that was, what, sophomore year? Or when did you...
That was my freshman year of college.
Freshman
so was
year
like
of college.
Okay. 2011, I went on, like, September of 2011, I went on that retreat. And then, yeah, and then that following Easter. So I went through RCIA all through my freshman year of college.
Okay.
So every Tuesday night I had RCIA class. And, which was great, because I just got to learn so much about the faith. Because, like, so to become Catholic, you have to go through RCIA classes, because there's so much to learn. And, like, typically a Catholic should have, like, gone to, like, religious education classes growing up. So I'm learning in 1 year what, like, a lot of people learn in, like, 7 years if they're well catechized.
Yeah.
Which is, like, unfortunately not always true.
That's me. I'm not. I'm not well catechized.
So, yeah. So then that following Easter. So because I was baptized Catholic, I technically have always been Catholic my whole life. But... I was not like a catechumen. Like I wasn't having to enter into the church. I was already in the church. I just had to like complete my sacraments. So I got my first Holy Communion on Holy Thursday, because I was supposed to get both my first communion and my confirmation on the Sunday after Easter. So Divine Mercy Sunday. But I was like, I don't want to wait like a whole year to receive Jesus on Easter. Like I just knew the power of that and knew like, yeah. Cause I got to a point where I was like, I was going to daily mass a lot cause we had it on campus. And I got to a point where, like, I couldn't even go up to receive a blessing because I wanted to receive the Eucharist so bad and I couldn't. And so I asked to receive before Easter. Like, or I asked to receive on Easter. And my priest was like, you know what? Let's just do it on Holy Thursday instead, because that's, like, super symbolic. So we'll just do it then. Which was awesome, because it was, like, we had the Holy Thursday Mass. And then it was, like, people got their feet washed. And then it was, like, okay, and we're going to do someone's first Holy Communion, too. And then I, like, got confirmed on Divine Mercy Sunday after that, so.
Can you describe that moment on Holy Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, I was, like, super nervous, but also super pumped because, yeah, I'd gone, like, I mean, after that first class of RCIA, like, in September, I was, like, if this, like, this Eucharist has to be true because I see all these people doing this. And so then started, when I started going to daily Mass and Mass on Sundays, it was, like, it just made more sense and, like, got to the point where I just, like, believed it so much that I wanted it so badly and, like, couldn't have it, that to finally get to that point where I could was, like, so satisfying. So I remember, like, they brought the kneeler out. I walked up, knelt down, received Jesus in the bread and then in the wine. and like, I mean, I cry a lot, like I cry all the time, but like, that was like, I like sat down in the pew and just like sobbed because it was like, it was, and it wasn't like a, I'm sad or I'm upset. It was just like fulfillment of everything I'd been wanting. And just like to finally have that moment with the Lord that was so intimate, that so many people had talked about, and I'd heard so many testimonies and so many things of conversion because of the Eucharist, to finally be a part of it was like so huge for me. That I remember going to Mass the next day on Good Friday. And like, you can still receive the Eucharist on Good Friday, but it's like not the same liturgy.
Yeah.
And I remember just being like, ah, oh, dang it. Mm-hmm. Like, and then I couldn't go on Saturday. So I'd like, you know, like went to the Easter Vigil. And I remember like the next week I like went to, I made sure I was at daily Mass every day. Cause it was like, I can finally do this. Yeah. I can finally be a part of it. And, yeah, it was just like super exciting. So, and it's nice to have that, like to have that moment of realizing like, because there's times now, like, so I've been Catholic for 7 years and there's times now where I like, we'll go receive the Eucharist like it's nothing, you know, just like go up and just be like, whatever, I'm doing this because I know that I should.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get to those moments, the Lord is really good about bringing me back to, but remember when you couldn't, like, remember when you couldn't have me and like you wanted it so badly, where was your heart then? And why is your heart not there now?
Yeah.
Because like it should be, our hearts should be in that place where we desire the Eucharist so bad that like if we can't receive him, we can't even like walk up for a blessing. Like we can't even go near it because we want it so bad. Or we like do whatever we can to have it as soon as possible, you know? So
It's kind of like avoiding that person that you're really drawn to.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be in the same room because you want them that bad.
Or
you want to be seen by them so bad.
Yeah.
But you can't for whatever freaking reason. Right.
Just avoid.
Yeah. Just avoid. And then they're like, why do you hate me? Like, oh no.
No, it's like literally the opposite.
I did it again. Yeah. Now, throughout your first year, like throughout your RCIA experience, were there any moments of doubt?
Yeah. I mean, I like still had, like, I still had some friends who like, as much as I just like stopped talking to people who were Catholic or who weren't Catholic or whatever, still had like influence from different people. Who were just kind of like, why are you doing this? Like, what are you trying to prove? What are you trying to do? And then I had some people who like were like, oh, classic Allie, like she's always just been like a goody two shoes, so of course she would like be this like religious person. Or my parents, I'm pretty sure, just kind of thought it was like a phase. Like, oh, cool. I think so one of the hardest things for me is, so my brother is openly gay, and he came out to me when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it was the same brother that
He's 3 years older than me. So I only have one brother.
Okay.
So when he came out to me in high school, I was able to be like, super supportive of it, because that's was in a really liberal family. And to me, that was like, cool, like if that's like what makes you happy, then that's great. And so me becoming Catholic was a huge strain in our relationship, and it went from being really close to him being afraid that I was going to hate him, and because of like who he was and who he is, and that was like a super hard teaching for me to understand, because I knew a lot of people who lived that type of lifestyle and loved them a lot, and so it was a really hard teaching for me to get my mind wrapped around, like why marriage should just be a man and a woman. So I think that was the one that I really wavered with for a long time. Like, because I knew that if I made this choice that like this could potentially like end my relationship with my brother. Like, and some moments and some conversations him and I had, like, it felt like that's what it was doing.
Yeah.
But like, I just couldn't get over the fact that I had never felt so seen and so known and so loved in my whole life. That, like, I was like, I couldn't say no to the Lord. Like, it was just so powerful in my heart that I just couldn't do it. And so, so that was hard. We have a good relationship now, though.
That's good.
The Lord has brought a lot of healing to that, so that's been awesome. But
that is
really it was good. It was a hard few years just figuring out, like, what do you, because even, like, what even do I, like, what do I believe? Because if, like, the church believes this, how can I, like, and I'm supposed to believe it, how do I do that and also, like, love someone who doesn't live that teaching? Which really, when you think about it, a lot of the teachings of the church, a lot of people in our lives don't live. And so, like, you know, or, like, struggle to live. So realizing, like, I can actually, it's really easy to love that person because I just need to love them as the Lord loves them. But, so it's, like, through a lot of understanding and prayer, I figured out it's a lot easier than I thought. But that probably would have been, was probably, like, the hardest thing for me in all of that to, like, get my mind wrapped around that that's, that was something that I, like, had to profess that I believed in the family that I lived in.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, no, that's hard. Like, I mean, that's great that you and your brother have a good experience now, or a good relationship now. But something I also learned, like, you know, I have a lot of friends who don't necessarily believe what we believe. And when we do get into those conversations, in the beginning, like, when I first really started following the faith, it was really easy for me to just kind of, like, whenever they would say their thoughts and opinions, I'd listen, but I'm already thinking about a rebuttal. It was so easy to just be on the defensive side all the time, literally all the time. And I think what I've learned for myself now is what I try to do is just listen, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, that invalidate, like, no, I get that. Like, that's, you know, they'll bring up certain teachings or things and whatever it may be. Because I, to be honest with you, I don't know everything, you know, I'm like, I'm not well catechized. So, which is a whole different topic, like, you know, which is actually something I still struggle with. Like, I don't know everything, but yet I'm willing to say, this is what I believe in, you know, like, and there are so many other things that, you know, sometimes I doubt, you know, sometimes I'm like, what? Right. But, you know, I mean, I had a similar experience, well, not similar experience actually, but it always goes back to when I first encountered Jesus in adoration, you know, like, just that, that's just like what I go back to. 'Cause I didn't know anything back then. And it was just like, I don't know if I asked for anything during that time when I was in adoration. But I just got hit real hard with the truth of his love and that he exists and he's a person. Like, that was, like, deep. It, like, I was 16 and I didn't really, like, live it out till I was, like, 24, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, no, that's awesome.
Well, and I think that that's the thing, what's interesting too, is like what you're saying, like, that it just goes back to that, like, relationship. Like, it's like, I know, like, I don't, like, even, I've even having gone through RCIA for a year and, like, continue, like, being in Bible study and stuff like that to try and, like, know as much about my faith as I could. Like, I still, there's still so much that I don't know. But, like, the fact that I profess what I believe because of who I believe in, not because of what I believe, but it's because of, like, who I believe in. Because it's like, if I didn't have a relationship with the Lord, like, if I didn't feel so, like, loved by him, there's no way that I believe some of the things that I believe. Like, that it's like, it's all due to the relationship I have with the Lord, not due to, like, necessarily, like, I mean, I do understand, like, there's objective truth and, like, but there are but there are things where I'm just like, okay, like, I get it, but, like, I don't get it. Like, I see what you're saying. I don't really get it. But, like, yeah, but, like, it's because I love Jesus. It's because I have a relationship with him that I'm able to say, like, yeah, I'm going to, like, if that's what he's telling me to do, then, like, I'm going to blindly follow him into that and, like, trust that, like, he's going to give me the understanding. He's going to give me the words he wants me to say if I'm put in a situation where I need to say something. Or he's just going to help me live my life in a way that, like, people see who he is through me. And, like, that's how they're going to be converted. Not because I know every single catechism reference for every hot topic that we have to talk about as Catholics. But, like, they're going to see it because of him, not because of me. Like, and what I know.
And that's the hope, right? Like, I'm on the same page. Like, It's almost an advantage for me because I don't have anything to fall back on but my personal conviction.
Yeah.
Like, I can't quote scripture as well as the next guy. You know, like, I can't refer to the catechism as well as... I barely refer to the catechism. Like, you know, like, when I see a catechism, it's like, wow, that's a big-ass book. Like, you know?
Where do I even start?
Yeah, it's like, ugh. Put some pictures or something, you know, like,
just get you like damn. A new cat or something.
Yeah. Oh, I tried that too. Yeah. I'm like, so just, yeah, I'm really, there are times when I'm like, how am I in ministry? You know, like, how am I still here? Same. Like, gosh, all right. You know, but like, I can't see myself doing anything else. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. at least now, you mm-hmm. know? So, yeah. Yeah. Just going back to what you mentioned earlier, where I see what you're saying. You said this, like, I see what you're saying, but I kind of don't get it, but okay. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of like how you're feeling? That's how I kind of feel about the whole gay marriage thing, to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's my thought. If like, what is so bad, right, about having same gender parents, I guess is like, and just to be clear, like, I am like in line with the church, but this is an area that I struggle in, like mm-hmm. that I mm-hmm. wrestle with.
Mm-hmm.
I think because there isn't, it's, I think it's because a lot of the truth and goodness is getting kind of blurry just because of all the policies that we have in the United States and
mm-hmm.
all these things. And also a lot of it too, is that I see Catholics going about it, in my opinion, the wrong way
mm-hmm.
and just bashing, like Bible bashing or like judging
mm-hmm.
or just, yeah. I almost feel like there are people out there that use the Catholic faith as a scapegoat to hate on
oh, yeah.
gay people. Like, oh, yeah. So I think like that's where I struggle is mm-hmm. because I see both sides. Like mm-hmm. I definitely believe in man and woman, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. I definitely believe in that. But what makes us like not like, what about like marriages in the city hall
mm-hmm.
between a man and a woman, like, mm-hmm. and then they have sex like that night or whatever, you know, like,
yeah,
it, I don't see us reacting that way
yeah.
towards them.
Yeah. Or even like people who are like cohabitating.
Yes.
It's like it's the same thing. Like yeah. in a sense, it's like, it's not the same sin, but it's the same like level of just like, yeah. And I think it gets really tricky too. And like, because I think because the like LGBT community has such a stigma towards us, mm-hmm. which like is rightfully so.
Yeah.
Because like people have treated them
oh
horribly.
My gosh.
So I can totally understand. Like, I remember like my brother like came to my confirmation. My family came to my confirmation. Oh. And my brother, as he was like walking into the church, was like, am I going to like light on fire? Like, am I going to burst into flames when I walk into yeah. this church? And I was like, oh my gosh, please don't.
I mean, he was joking.
Yeah. Oh, he was totally joking. But I was just like, I can't believe that you just said that. Like, and then, but now, like, because my brother's so good and he, like, loves me so well, has, like, looked into, like, what the Catholic Church actually believes. Like, he's done that on his own and, like, he will go. Like, we were, like, on the phone the other day as in, like, a year ago. Like, wait, that was,
yeah,
like,
that was
a year
still
ago.
A day.
Like, the other day. And he was, like, I was, like, talking to him, like, I was, like, yeah, I'm gonna, like, go to adoration later, and blah, 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 blah. And then he was, like, oh, I went to adoration the other day, and I was, like, you know what adoration is? Like, I was just, like, first of all, how do you even know that word? And he was, like, yeah, I know what that is, like, because he lives in La Crosse, and the Sisters of Perpetual Adoration are there. And he was, like, yeah, I went to go see, like, the changing of the guards, which, like, is just funny that it's, like, wait, you went to just go watch them switch? Like, but, like, the fact that it's, like, oh, it's just the Lord, like, drawing you. And, like,
yeah.
But that he, like, it's just so interesting that it's, like, he loves me enough to, like, look into what I believe in so that he can, like, understand me better.
Yeah.
But, like, he deserves for me to be able to do the same thing, mm-hmm. you know, for me to, like, understand him better and, like, understand where he's coming from. And just because I don't believe the same things or agree with the lifestyle that he lives doesn't mean that I don't love him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the tricky balance is, especially for Catholics, to having relationships with people in the LGBT community, is, like, we want to love you. We want you to know that you are loved and you are good in who you are, but that, like, we don't want you to identify yourself by who you're attracted to. Like, that's not how we should be identifying yeah. ourselves as. And so, like, but that for them and their community, that is how they identify themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, that is who they are in the core of their being.
Yeah.
And that's how they live their lives. And so in the same way that, like, the core of my being, of who I live, is as a Catholic, as a daughter of God. And, like, that is who I am, and that's how I live my life. In the same way that, like my brother lives his life as a gay man. Like, mm-hmm. that's his identity, and that's who mm-hmm. he is. And so, which, like, that's his identity in his mind. That's not how I view him, or how, like, other people may view him, or whatever. Yeah. But, like, because they view themselves that way, and because we view ourselves our way, like, there's just so much miscommunication, I think, in, like, what we believe, like,
mm-hmm.
what we truly believe, and that, like, can be so frustrating. Like, I love you, and, like, want you to know that, like, I love you because you're a human being, and I love you because you're my brother, or whatever, or my friend, or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, I can't agree with the lifestyle that you live. But, mm-hmm. like, I have been trying, I'm not good at this, but I've been trying to, like, live my, like, have that mindset for, like, my friends who are cohabitating with their
yeah.
significant others. Like, mm-hmm. I love you, but I'm going to tell you the truth about how I feel about the fact that you live with your boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to just, like, and also that has to come with, like, the level of trust you have in a relationship.
Yeah.
Because, like, someone who, like, I've met and known for, like, a few months who lives with their boyfriend, like, I'm not going to be like, why are you living with your boyfriend?
Yeah.
You shouldn't do that. Like, I don't have that relationship
yeah.
with them. But my best friend I've known my whole life,
mm-hmm.
like, she lives with her boyfriend, and she knows exactly how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time we talk, I'm like, so when are you guys going to get married? Like,
yeah.
when are you going to, like, move out before you guys get married, maybe? Like,
yeah.
what about marriage?
Mm-hmm.
And we have a relationship where she'll call me out on my crap as well, like,
yeah.
about different things I'm doing. And so, I don't know where I was going with that. I don't know how I started on that, but
yeah.
yeah, I think it's just hard, like, to learn how to, like, because our world views love as, like, just making everyone feel comfortable and happy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, like, not what love is. Like, love is to will the good of the other. And
mm-hmm.
so, like, I'm trying to will your good, but you think that I hate you because my idea, like, what I believe is your good is you not cohabitating or you not having a same-sex relationship.
Yeah.
But what you see is that I'm not letting you be loved.
Yes.
And so, like, just having to, like, have conversations about that. Like, what does that look
yeah.
like, you know?
Yeah, misconception is such a huge...
Mm-hmm.
thing in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And not just for people who don't believe in the church's teachings, but for people who believe in the church's teachings.
Like, yeah.
We still have a lot of misconceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
It's hard. It's so heavy.
It is.
It's just like, it like literally breaks my heart to like think about how hard it is. And I mean, but that's just the world. Like,
yeah.
our world is just hard.
Yeah.
Because we just want to like love. We want people to be loved and known. And that's, like, I think after 7 years of being Catholic, it's, like, the reason I've done 3 years of mission work and continue to work with NET, like, is partially because I think in high school and in middle school, when I felt so unloved, like, I just never want anyone to feel that way.
Mm.
Like, I just have such a passion for people to not feel the way that I felt because
mm-hmm.
I know how hard it was, you know? Like,
yeah.
I know how frustrating it was and how sad I was and how worthless I felt that, like, a huge reason why I did NET in the first place was because I saw, like, because I mean, I was involved in Focus and was like, I think Focus is great, and I love Focus, and I think they do awesome work, but, like, I was hurting so much in middle school and high school that if I would have had somebody tell me at that age, you're loved, like, and you're loved by the creator of the universe, and he made the mountains, and he made the leaves change because you think they're beautiful, like, he made that for you to show you that you're loved, that would have been transformative for me. Like,
yeah.
that would have changed like that would have changed my life. And it did change my life. It just happened in college, you know? And so I'm so thankful for Focus because of that. But like, I wanted to be able to reach people earlier, like, and wanted, and still want to do that. Like, even though like, I don't work with high schoolers and middle schoolers anymore, I just work answering phones, like, but knowing that like, I can still answer the phone and like, hope that that person feels loved by my, by me answering the phone. Like, hope that that person like sees the Lord through me. By me like answering the phone and like being a joyful voice to them or whatever. So
if you're listening to this, call Net Ministries. And if you're not joyful, because
just call me out.
Just call her out. If Allie's not joyful, call her out on her crap, because she we don't have time for that. We can't have any slackers here.
Just tell me to go to confession if I don't sound joyful. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, get her butt to the chapel, which is like maybe
literally
like,
dumb. I can see it from my desk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just leave the door open in case the phone rings, I can like run back down.
Yeah, there you go. Man. No, oh, so gosh. There's so much I want to say, but I feel like we need to end this soon. But yeah. No, well, I just want to say thank you for sharing all of that, because, I mean, that's great. I think one of my biggest takeaways from this was what you said. It's because something along the lines of because you know who your convictions are, or it's, well, do you remember
like
what you said?
Who my truth. Wait, no, what did I say?
Yeah, something like that. Oh,
like
my gosh.
Like, something about, okay, like, I
it
don't
was so
believe,
good.
I know.
It was so
just
good.
Just, like, go back and, like, put that edit in what.
No, definitely.
Just kidding. Something just, like, basically along the lines of, like, I don't believe these truths, or I don't believe what I believe because of what I believe. It's because of who I believe.
Yeah.
Like, who I believe in.
Yeah, it's who you believe in. That, yeah, if I were to, like, kind of put a mission statement over myself, you know, like in my current state and like walking with Jesus, I think that would be definitely it. Cause it's just like, yeah. Cause I mean, and yes, you said this, like there are objective truths and that's great, but that came from him first.
Yeah.
You know, like, so, and yeah, thank you for sharing that. I do want to do like a couple shout outs to these ministries that we mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, that are doing great work. So definitely Focus.
Yeah.
They reached out to you and gave you the resources you needed, the people you needed.
Yeah.
To really walk with you. And then Net Ministries, which I'm indebted to.
Yeah. Same. Same. Literally, they like give me my paycheck.
Literally, we need Net. I think that's a whole nother podcast within itself, just Net Ministries in general, for just me at least. Yeah, shit. So there's that. And since we got on the topic of same-sex attraction and all in the LGBTQ, I want to refer people to the Eden Invitation.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Anna Carter.
She's been huge to help me just like figure out things too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. You've reached out. That's great.
Yeah. I've like reached out to them, like just over like social media and stuff. Like, hey, how do I like have this conversation? Or what do you think I should do, in this situation or whatever? And like, yeah. So they've been like super helpful for me. Just not as someone who struggles with that, but somebody who wants to love people who struggle with it.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. And there's so many of us like that.
Yeah.
Like, we want to love so badly.
Yeah.
But we don't know how to.
Yeah. And they're doing a great job of just, like, showing the world, like, how to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anna Carter, super dope human being. Mm-hmm. Check them out. Eden Invitation. They're on Instagram and Facebook. She's loads of fun. She's a great human being. Mm-hmm. Got to know her last year. They're doing amazing work. I'm really excited about them. I think that's it. Allie, is there anything you want to share to the listeners here. Do you want me to plug you in on social, on the socials and all that? Not really.
Sure, if you want to. Like, yeah, I guess you could follow me. Now I feel like I should like post more often if people are gonna follow me. But yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at AllieI24. A-L-L-I-E. Is how I spell my name.
Well, great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me share my story.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. I hope this isn't the last.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys had a great time listening to that. I hope it added a lot of value to your day. So what I want to invite you to do now is leave me a review. If you liked it, tell me. If you didn't like it, let me know. But yeah, that's it. I will be posting more podcasts in the future. But for now, go ahead and follow me at Koji DeRamos, and I'll see you guys in the next show.